Hello, I'm Krista Duncan, founder of Women in Payments, a global network that connects, inspires, and champions women across the global payments industry. Welcome to our Pause for Payments podcast. Every week, we sit down with an inspiring woman leading the way in her field. We'll discuss industry and career-related topics and share personal success stories to inspire and empower the next generation of women leaders. Before we begin, I'd like to thank our sponsors for their continued support. With your help, we can go further, faster. Hello and welcome to Pause for Payments. I am Christy Duncan. I'm delighted to be chatting today with Kalyani Bhatia, who is Global Head of Payments and Payment Market Infrastructures, Go-to-Market Business Development at Swift, based in New York. Welcome, Kalyani.
Thank you so much, Christy. Lovely to be here.
Today, Kalyani, are going to be discussing cross-border payments, and I'm excited to dive into this topic because the pandemic has really driven a huge shift in customer needs, expectations, and we're also seeing an increasing pace of change in financial services, which is only seems to be snowballing. But as a result, there's growing pressure to have the same seamlessness in international payments as customers experience with their domestic payments. So let's dive in. Kalyani, just to get us warmed up, can you tell us about your role at Swift and how you got there?
Sure. So my role at Swift, I've been at Swift for about 2.5 years, and I run a team of global payment experts in our go-to-market area. And really our job is to really talk about with the communities. We spend a lot of time with the communities telling them about what Swift is working on, what products and services, what are our strategic objectives, and really helping support them. We also feedback a lot of their feedback on their challenges and feed that back into the organization to see how we continue to fine-tune and innovate our products and services. My journey to Swift is an interesting one. Before I was a woman in payments, I was actually a woman in tech. I grew up in Houston in Texas, and out of school, I joined a consulting firm and did about 10 years of technical consulting in the oil and gas area. I got married. I moved out to the East Coast. 9/11 happened. The current firm I was at went belly up a little bit, and I was pitching. This was at the time of the internet, and companies were trying to create presences online, and I was actually pitching a portal, cash portal, for Deutsche Bank. So I landed up there after the 9/11 happened and spent about 20 years there before coming to Swift. So a bit of a circuitous route to banking, but here I am.
I love it. Well, that's a great segue into what we're going to be talking about, which is all about interesting journeys and how do we get to where we want to be. So a lot has been done in recent years to improve service levels for cross-border payments, both for wholesale as well as retail customers. What is driving these changes, Kalyani?
So I think that's a great question. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk maybe a little bit about some of the important global trends that we see at Swift in the industry. And the first one, which is, I think, an obvious one to most of us now, is payments are becoming increasingly digital. And as you mentioned, the pandemic has really been a stimulus of that in the world to go more digital in our daily lives. And if I think about it, right, so during the pandemic, I couldn't go outside, but what could I do? And I have two daughters at home. We spent a lot of time online shopping. And so we spent a lot of time and money in this borderless online world, which is faster and seamless. And then kind of the next trend that we're seeing is what are customer expectations? How are they changing and what do they really want? And they really want real-time, seamless experiences everywhere in their daily lives, even when we talk about financial services. So back to my two daughters again, Amazon packages only almost every day. They don't even need the doorbell to ring anymore. They get a notification on their phone and they know it's waiting for them outside on the door. I can even track my pizza. I can get on my app. I can order it. I can see when it's in the oven. I know it's time to get in the car and go pick it up. So it's just that increased want of transparency. Where is my money? When am I going to get it? And that there's no kind of hidden fees. And that's kind of another kind of key change we're seeing in customer expectations. And then the last one is about we're seeing new payment flows. And so global payment revenues are back on the rise out of the pandemic decline, which is terrific to see. And we're starting to see new payment methods. So instant, e-cash, e-money, driven by mobile wallets. And we know that by the end of 2025, those are going to be about 25% of global non-cash transactions moving forward. So then if we look at instant payments, and this comes also back to something that you kind of talked about, how we want them to be, you know, they're starting to become more the norm in domestic payments. We see 55 countries now having kind of real-time payment systems, most of them in APAC. And if I look at India specifically, we see 40% of all real-time payments in that country. And if we really think about India, which is really interesting, they've had that kind of payment infrastructure in place for about 10 years. But it's really the government who has started these initiatives to drive financial inclusion for the underbanked that has really driven that growth that we see in real-time payments. The U.S., where I'm from, we're a bit slower to adopt. So we've got the U.S. real-time payment network that came into play in 2017. And then in the EU, actually in the last couple of weeks, we heard the kind of European Commission announce that they wanted to propose now legislation to make instant payments in the euro available to businesses, account holders, everywhere in the European Union. So that those are kind of the what we're seeing in instant payments. Very common feedback that I hear from customers, again, to echo you had said, why can't cross-border payments be as easy as domestic ones? Look, they're inherently complex. We're trying to move jurisdictions with different currencies, different regulatory data requirements, as you know. And as they move through those different countries, transactions have to be checked for sanctions, for local financial controls. And we're also talking about limited operating hours. So it's inherently, when we talk about settling payments cross-border, we're going to see delays. Okay, so what we're trying to do with SWIFT, really with the financial community, is how can we focus and eliminate as much of that friction out of payments as we possibly can?
So much to do and so little time to do it, given the changing expectations of customers. But it's such a great opportunity. And I know cross-border payments are in many ways no different from domestic payments. We all want the transparency. We all want the instant gratification. And we'd love to have the transparency. And of course, we don't want to pay any fees. So it's a tall order for sure. Can we talk about how far things have come, Kalyani, in the future for cross-border payments, what it looks like? And we know that SWIFT has launched GPI, the Global Payments Initiative, Innovation Initiative. But how does that translate into where we want to go in terms of frictionless and transparent and real time?
Sure. And I'm going to break this up again, talk a little bit about where we are today, challenges. There's always lots to do, and maybe a couple kind of key successes that we've seen recently at SWIFT. But to your point, SWIFT GPI, you know, and we launched that in five years ago, and also our kind of continuous investment in security with the customer security program. We have seen cross-border payments, they're quicker, they're more transparent and more secure than they were 5 years ago. And if we look at speed, I've got a few stats to share with you. 47% of SWIFT GPI payments are credited to the end beneficiary within 5 minutes, 59% within 30 minutes, and nearly 100% within 24 hours. So that's some great work that we've done on the speed side. Transparency, just a couple of things I want to mention. We've added that FedEx-like tracker stamp on every payment with the UETR, and we've really given banks a single common reference for the entire transaction payment lifecycle for the first time, and that was really a game changer for us as an industry. And then the GPI tracker, so our customers can log in. It's a very nice visual metro line. You can see where your payment has been, where is it going, and when it's going to hit your end beneficiary. So, you know, some tremendous work there. And security and resilience, constant compliance, constant security controls. We're always investing to stay ahead of our, you know, that ever-changing kind of threat landscape. So Lots of work to do, though. There's still plenty of challenges to tackle. We've talked about a few of them. So we talk about local operating hours. How do we get, when we look at cross-border, how do we continue to shrink those times on payment processing times, fragmented data, legacy tech? Those are all things that I hear about from customers. Interoperability with payment market infrastructures. How do we continue to interlink them? How do we, work with CBDCs, tokenized assets? There's new technology every day, geopolitical shifts that continue to cause fragmentation. And of course, G20, there's a lot of work that they've asked us to do, right, as an industry. And they have a really well-defined three-stage plan to kind of enhance cross-border payments. And SWIFT is really involved in that. And maybe if I just mention a couple of key successes for us this year, we're really looking at how the community can enhance that cross-border payment experience and low-value payments. And I know we're going to talk about SWIFT Go later, but so I'll save the nuggets there for a little bit later in the conversation. But that's been our focus for the last couple of years.
Cool. Well, certainly there's lots of opportunity, and we're all looking forward to the progress that you're making. And it's so fantastic to hear about the progress you've already made in the last few years. So congratulations on that. Very, very exciting. I do want to talk more about SWIFT Go, because that's something that will filter down market into perhaps the commercial and the consumer market. So can you tell us a little bit about how that works and what the benefits are?
Yeah, so SWIFT Go was really established to help the community protect and defend against the fintechs in the low value space, and to really help their SME and retail customers to send predictable, fast, secure, competitive price, low value cross-border payments anywhere in the world, direct from their bank accounts. And so what we know from market data is low value payments is a high growth segment. There's lots of market studies on what's happening in remittances. But what we've noticed when we analyze our own SWIFT traffic is that our community is losing market share. And it's really because there's been such an amount of competitive fintechs that have offered these wonderful customer experiences. So our banks have been threatened. So we wanted to really identify something. We've worked with them since early 2021 to see how we could really look at low value payments and create something to help with those challenges and opportunities in this space. So we launched SWIFT Go a little over a year ago, with the ambition of it to be the new standard for low value payments. And since the launch, I will say we've seen a tremendous amount of interest. We've had 500 banks sign up in over 120 countries, and we expect 60 of them to go live by the end of the year. And to put that in perspective, if we had all 500 banks go live, that would represent more than 60% of the entire low-value payment traffic that we have on SWIFT. And we've also seen a tremendous, great results out of what we've done so far. And we're seeing 87% of all SWIFT Go payments are being delivered to the end beneficiary within 3 minutes.
Fantastic. I love it. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. And it'll be so nice to do that all in one place at my bank's website. So thank you for sharing. That's really exciting. And you've done a lot of work and really expanding your market and taking on new opportunities for SWIFT, because the consumer and the smaller commercial markets weren't necessarily part of SWIFT's target market in the past.
Very true.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure the banks will be delighted to have your support to build out value for their customers as well. This has been a great discussion, Kellyanne. We could talk all day because you've got so much.
We could.
But sadly, we've got time for just one more question. And what I'd like to do is close with a question that I ask all of our Pause for Payments guests to talk about, and that is, you've got this fabulous role at SWIFT on a global level. And if you were starting out your career today, or giving advice to some of the rising stars in the audience, what career advice would that be?
So it has to be around being open to change, right? And pushing yourself. I think me especially, I never thought I would end up in banking. And I started off in a very technical career. And I just landed in this space. And actually in college, the two things that I said I would never do was work with computers, And I would never get into accounting, and look where I am. And I think it's just to be open to the realm of possibilities and pushing yourself, and growth is stretching. And you never know, right? You never know. You may think that you cannot do something. And women always do this, right? I remember the panel that I did for you at the Canada Symposium. We were talking about, I have actually interviewed many, many young people for jobs that I know they can do, and they're quite capable. But they already say no because it's not in their comfort zone. They feel like they have to meet all of the requirements. And I know they can do it. And it's just a matter of saying yes. We say no too often as women. We need to say yes more. And a little bit of uncomfortableness helps us grow, and just be open to that. And, you know, and that would be my biggest advice to young people today.
I love it. That's so insightful, Kalyani, especially seeing how you have had this fantastic career path that certainly has not been linear. And you've gotten out of your comfort zone a few times, and look at where it's landed you. Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing these insights, Kalyani. It's been fantastic hearing all about what you're doing at Swift. It's been really exciting hearing about your career and your career journey, and sharing your insights with our audience. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Christy. Wonderful to be here.
This has been a great discussion. I'm going to thank our audience for joining us today, and encourage you also to join us for other fantastic discussions with other amazing women from around the world of payments. And thanks, everybody, for joining. Pause for Payments is produced by Women in Payments, and you can learn more about us at womeninpayments.org. You can also sign up to be a member and gain access to our global membership portal, where you'll find the latest industry trends, exciting career opportunities, and so much more, all created by women for women. All of our episodes can be found on many good podcast streaming platforms. And if you enjoy today's podcast, please remember to rate and subscribe. It really helps us to get found by others. Thanks, everyone, for listening.